Classic Hits, this is Trina Mara, and on the line we're joined by Adele Conlon, who is the Cork Regional Services Manager for Threshold. Good morning, Adele. How are you doing?
Good morning, Trina.
A very stressful time for a lot of people, whether they're renting or whether they own their own homes. Well, nobody really owns them. It's really a tough time at the moment. And I saw a great ad popping up on Facebook advertising Threshold. You're really helping people out at the moment because people don't know where they stand if they've lost their jobs. They don't know if they can meet the rent or not. So can you talk us through what rights do you have at the moment if you are renting and you can't make the rent? You just don't have the same income that you used to have.
Yeah, so I mean, it certainly is a very stressful time for tenants at the moment. But we have to reassure people that there is help out there and there is assistance for people who are finding themselves with a reduced income due to COVID-19. So the most important thing, I suppose, is that people get, you know, the correct information. So they contact Threshold, explain their situation and get correct advice from an advisor. If someone cannot meet the rent, it's important that they do, you know, approach their landlord and as soon as possible, and not to let it go too long because the arrears are going to build up. But there are two schemes out there for people who would find themselves, you know, not being in a position to meet the rent. And the first one is rent supplement. So this is the main scheme that people are using during the COVID-19 because people have suddenly found themselves without any income. So this is a scheme which is run by the Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection, and they will assist people to pay their rent through this rent supplement scheme. Now, tenants will be required to make a contribution to the rent, and this contribution will depend on the income coming into the household. Now, it's important that people know that this rent supplement is only available to households where there's nobody's working full-time in that household.
Okay, so if one partner, if your husband or your wife is still working, you obviously do have quite a reduced salary coming into the house. If one person is still working full-time, then you can't get it.
You can't get it. Okay. However, there is a second scheme, which is the housing assistance payment. Okay, so this is a scheme which is run by all the local authorities across the country. The requirement to apply for the housing assistance payment scheme is that you must be on the housing, say the housing waiting list. Mm. Okay, so you must qualify for that list. So there's a bit of paperwork involved, and there is, I suppose, a threshold within the local authority, an income threshold, and this does vary from local authority to local authority. So, you know, when someone rings Threshold, we'll look into all that information and be able to give the correct information relevant to where the person is living and what local authority they come under. So this housing assistance payment is slightly different than that. The rent is paid in full to the landlord, okay, mm-hmm. if the person qualifies for this. And then the tenant is required then to make their contribution to the local authority. That contribution depends, again, on what income is coming into the household. And I suppose the housing assistance payment is more flexible, and it's probably, it is, I suppose in the long term, it is a better scheme because even if someone goes back to work on housing assistance payment, they will still qualify for, you know, some rent to be paid. It just means that the contribution changes. But with rent supplement, as soon as someone goes back to work, unfortunately, it's gone then. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, if you never had it in the first place, I guess you're used to kind of paying rent if you're back to your normal wage. How do landlords react? Because we hear it all the time in the media, oh, they don't want the HAP scheme. Landlords don't want it. Do they have to take the HAP scheme?
Yes. So under the Equal Status Act now, a landlord does have to accept a housing support if a tenant needs to avail of that. Mm-hmm. So a landlord cannot refuse to take rent supplement or the housing assistance payment scheme.
Why do they say no? You know, why are some of them reluctant to take it? Because surely it's almost, you know, it's much more reliable because they know that they're going to get the payment.
Absolutely. And I'm not too sure, really. You know, I suppose some landlords have their own reasons for doing so. And, you know, we find that sometimes it's just that it's something new and, you know, landlords just don't know enough about the scheme. And we often find when we actually ring the landlord, explain it to them in detail and explain how it's going to work and the benefits that it brings to the landlord and the benefits that it brings to the tenant, that actually in the end, they're quite happy about it.
Yeah, maybe they think that it'll cost them more in tax or something. Maybe some of them aren't paying tax.
Well, that could be the case in some instances, you know. There are landlords that like to work in cash. But I suppose for anyone listening that are afraid to approach their landlord to ask, will he accept the scheme, it's important that they do know that under the Equal Status Act that the landlord actually does have to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we can always, you know, ring the landlord on behalf of a tenant if they are more comfortable with that approach, just to explain how the whole scheme, the two schemes work.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the intervention of thresholds can be very successful.
I'd say.
Yeah.
When it comes to then people who are affected by COVID-19 in that their wages have been really reduced and they're in a house share situation, and a lot of us have done that over the years, you know, like mm-hmm. renting in one room in a house, you might be with three other people, four other people, and you can't pay your part of the rent that might be, you know, 600, 700 euro. Are the other people in the house then responsible for the difference?
The person who has lost their employment just applied for the rent supplement for their portion of the rent. That's what happens in that scenario.
Right.
It is important to note that, you know, in a lot of cases like that, people may have signed a contract. You know, there might be three people who have signed a contract together, and you know, they are jointly and severally liable, so the rent must be paid in full. So if someone decides to leave the lease and leave the tenancy and don't replace themselves in that tenancy, the other two people will be required to pay the rent in full.
Now,
there's other means for those two people to try and recover that loss of rent until the end of the contract, you know, but we're kind of going into a more legal side of things there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's important that people get their contracts checked. And again, we can talk through contracts with people and explain what certain clauses mean in clearer terms for people.
That is interesting, because some people who might be, you know, sharing a place with two friends or maybe even two strangers, they might think to themselves, but sure, like, I'm not responsible for them. But there you go. Like, you do have to pay it in full. So you have to really be careful, don't you?
You do. You know, if anyone is kind of moving into a property and they've been asked to sign a contract, just email it through to Threshold, and one of our advisors will check it for people. And again, you know, if there's anything that looks a bit dodgy in it, we'll certainly question it for people then.
Now, once these rent increase restrictions and the eviction restrictions have been lifted, can you technically be out in your ear if the landlord decides, like, on the next day after they lift all this, can the landlord put the rent up?
Well, during the emergency measures, so for the 3 months, there can be no increase in rent for people. Mm. Now, landlords can issue a rent review, and they have to give 90 days notice of that rent review. But if the government, say, extend the emergency measures, then the day the rent was supposed to, say, increase, that'll be pushed out again for people. Mm-hmm. So there's no rent increases happening during the 3 month period. The same for evictions. So there's a moratorium on evictions as well for that 3 month period. The only way a family or an individual may have to leave their tenancy is if there was an RTB hearing or a determination order made previous to the emergency measures that actually, you know, the date is during the 3 month period. Unfortunately, there are occasions where people may have to move out of their property, but we've seen very few of these.
We're always kind of painting the landlord as being the baddie. They're not always bad. A lot of them are brilliant and very understanding when it comes to, you know, approaching them and saying to them, look, my hours are down, or I'm out of work for a while. It's about communicating. There's also tenants who are very bad tenants as well, who may mm-hmm. take COVID as an opportunity to say, do you know what, I'm not paying the rent. So where does the landlord stand?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say overall, Trina, landlords have been very, very accommodating during this COVID-19 pandemic that we're going through, and have been very understanding of tenant situations. There's always a few, but overall, I have to say it's been very positive. You know, as you say, communication is key. So we're all constantly communicating with landlords on behalf of tenants, and they are being very good. But should a landlord find themselves in a situation where, as you say, a tenant may choose not to pay their rent, they can utilise the Residential Tenancies Board adjudication service. So they can submit a dispute to the Residential Tenancies Board. Mm-hmm. They have just started to operate adjudication hearings again, although it is through paper-based adjudication setting, so it just involves the submission of documents. It's important that landlords know that they do have the support there if needed to get their property back should a tenant take advantage of the current restrictions.
Yeah, because you'll always get a chancer who'll turn around and say, do you know what, I'm not paying them, and tough, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's very hard to get places and to find places. We know there are still queues everywhere when it comes to finding rental properties. You want to have a good reference, so you don't want to be on the bad side of your landlord either.
No, you know, it is important that people have references. I mean, nobody wants to leave on a bad note. Tenants have obligations and they have to make themselves familiar with what those obligations are. And, you know, a lot of the time it's just to get the correct information for both tenants and landlords. Legislation has got quite complex. You know, if we look at all the amendments that have happened to the Residential Tenancies Act in the last few years, you know, it is very difficult for tenants and landlords to be aware of what their rights are, what their obligations are. So it is very complex. So, you know, we're there for people. We're there to help to explain the legislation in, you know, just, I suppose, layman's terms.
Are people moving house at the moment? Are you allowed to move house?
I suppose, as I said earlier, there are a few instances where people will have to leave their accommodation. I know that some agents are doing virtual viewings. I think since Monday, there are some viewings happening, but they're limited to take social distancing into consideration. So it's important that, I suppose, we don't want to see a spike in homelessness. Mm. You know, that's the fear for later this year. So it's important that tenants are acting on their situations as soon as they can. So if they know that they have to vacate a property by a certain date, that they're being proactive and looking at accommodation and seeing what's available. Mm. The Airbnb properties now are going to be vacant probably, so a lot of landlords are going to choose to go back and advertise them on DACT back into the private rented market, which is very positive. So we'll see, hopefully, fingers crossed, more properties available and being advertised on DACT in the coming months.
And no doubt that'll mean the rents will probably go down a little bit if there's a good bit of supply there,
Exactly, So we should see all that now, you know, in the next few months, which is positive for people because, as we know, the rent that people have been expected to pay over the last few years have been, they're not affordable and they've put an awful lot of pressure on people. And thankfully, and I think we have to note that the Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection have been very, very good in acknowledging that people's rents are above the rent cap that usually people would be allowed to rent for, and they have been paying above those rent caps to prevent people from becoming homeless. You know, so the staff across the country in those offices have been very, very accommodating.
The other thing as well, a lot of people probably think that you can't get any assistance from the state if you're working. You can.
Yeah, you can. So the housing assistance payment is there if you qualify for it. So, as I said, it depends on the threshold within the local authority, the income threshold. But you can work and still get support for your rent. Yeah.
Do you come across a lot of problems with people not getting their deposit back from a landlord?
I suppose going back a few years ago, probably 5 years ago, deposit retention was our number one query, actually. Because at the time, there was a lot of movement within the market. So what we've seen over the last 2 years or even three, there's been very little movement within the market. So people want to hold on to the tenancy they have for as long as possible, which meant that the issue of deposit retention was lower down the list, I suppose, in terms of what we were dealing with. However, since in the last month now, 6 weeks, we have seen an increase in callers wanting advice around their situation in terms of getting their deposit back and how to ensure that they get their deposit back. Yeah. And the reason for that is that because of the lockdown, so people weren't allowed to move. We have concerns for next week because students' leases will be coming to an end.
Of course. So
we are currently, I suppose, talking to various departments on this issue at the moment. And, you know, we hope to have further clarification later in the week to see what students are going to do in terms of going to get their belongings and to remove them from properties where their belongings may still be in. they have to have their belongings removed in order to secure the return of their deposit. So, you know, we're just concerned about that issue at the moment, but we're linking in with a few departments on that.
Do a lot of landlords, is the normal thing that they say when they won't get back the deposit is there's too much damage. So what's the difference between damage and wear and tear that they kind of should expect?
Yes, this one is always difficult one to advise on, but what we advise people is to always take photographs when you move into a property. Mm-hmm. And always ensure that if an issue arises in the property that needs the attention of a landlord to repair, that under the legislation you have to write to the landlord, notify them of the issue and give them the opportunity to rectify it. We always advise tenants to notify the landlord as soon as possible, because that could come against a tenant at the end of their tenancy. Yeah. Because the landlord could say, well, I see a load of damage, there's a leak in the fissure and there's damp everywhere, but you never notified me of it. So it's always very important to notify a landlord straight away. But in terms of, you have to take into consideration how many people were living in the property. So the landlord, if there was a family moving in, then they have to take into consideration that there's going to be some wear and tear, might need to be repainted at the end of the tenancy. And you have to take these things into consideration.
Yeah.
But I suppose the thing is, wear and tear is different to damage. So if something's damaged, then a landlord could be entitled to retain some of the deposits to cover the cost of that.
Okay.
So look, it's never straightforward, to be fair. If there is a dispute with the deposits, it's very important the tenant has photographs from when they moved in and from when they moved out, the day the tenancy ended.
I understand what you mean when you're saying about notifying them the minute you notice that there's something wrong or something doesn't work. I have a friend who is renting and she always tells me that she never gets onto her landlord. She hasn't been onto her landlord in about 2 or 3 years because she almost doesn't want to remind him that she's there in case he turns around and says, oh, I'm going to sell the house or I'm going to put up the rent.
Yeah.
A lot of people try and just stay quiet, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. People are scared to approach the landlord because they know that if the landlord issues notice of termination, they're, unfortunately, the reality is that the person may not find another property and may become homeless. You know, and it's a real fear amongst tenants. You know, tenants shouldn't have to live like that, but unfortunately, that fear is there.
The key is, I suppose, if you're looking to get your deposit back then, is to leave the place as spotless as you possibly can, not to give them any excuse kind of to withhold it. I know.
Absolutely.
You've set up a new helpline and it's for people, particularly in the hospitality industry, who've been affected by COVID. This is brilliant to have this information available to people. The phone number there, Adele, is 1-800-77-88-99. So what is that helpline?
So that helpline has been set up to assist people who have had a loss of income and, you know, need advice on how they're going to meet the rent going forward. Advisors are all working from home and the helpline is operating from 9 to 9, Monday to Friday. So anyone that is having any difficulty in their tenancy should phone us and seek advice as soon as they can, to prevent any arrears from building up as well, you know, because that can put a tenancy at risk. Don't delay, just give us a call. We'll advise you what the best course of action in your situation is.
People working in hospitality, the worry is, will they ever get back to normal? We just don't know. We don't have a date. We don't know. Like, it's kind of how long's a piece of string, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's just no clarity there for anyone, and it is stressful, but I suppose we are here to take some of that stress away for people and to put them on the right track in terms of securing their accommodation and securing their home. Don't let any arrears build up. It's important that they contact us straight away. We're not just an advisory service either. Like, we just don't give advice. We advocate, you know, we really do. We contact the landlord if that person is struggling and just doesn't want to ring their landlord. There's no problem. We'll make that call for people and make sure that the communication is kept going between the landlord and tenant and, you know, again, talk people through the various forms and ensure that their tenancies are protected.
Yeah. Do Threshold charge for that?
No, we're a free service, so we're a charitable organisation. I suppose we have our own struggles there, Trina, you know.
Mm-hmm.
in terms of continuing our fundraising and ensuring that we can protect threshold and what we can offer tenants who are at risk of homelessness. So if there's anyone listening who'd like to support threshold, they could do so through our website, www.threshold.ie.
God, yeah, definitely. A tenner here or there would make such a difference, wouldn't it? Because you never know when you're going to be the person that needs to phone that helpline. It could be you next week.
Absolutely, you know, and no one knows. And I suppose that's the vulnerability that's there in the private rented sector is, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, who you are, what you do. Anyone can be affected by homelessness now because of the insecurity within the private rented market. So it's important that, I suppose, we can offer this service to prevent as many tenancies from ending and prevent as many people from entering homelessness as possible.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for taking our call today, Adele. Plenty of information
Thanks,
there.
Yeah.
We're going to put the full interview up as well on our podcast. If anybody missed any details and you want to have a quick listen back and get a pen out and write down the numbers and everything. So there's Adele Conlon, Cork Regional Services Manager from Threshold, and the website is threshold.ie. We'll just give you that other number out again, which is the dedicated helpline to support workers in the hospitality sector who have been impacted by COVID-19. That is 1-800-77-88-99. Thanks so much, Adele. You take care, won't you?
Thank you. You too, Trina. Thanks
Talk to you
very
soon.
Much.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.